Amen. Hallelujah. That's a fact. Well, we're in the last days, and if there's ever a time to know whether you know Jesus or not, this is it. You know, just like we've been talking this morning already. This brother-in-law passed away, and he knew the Lord. I tell you this, I think if the Lord is sick of anything, he's sick of religion. You know that? Where people talk a story and they don't know the Lord. Somebody says, well, I've always known the Lord. Well, that's a suspect to me right there. Because nobody's always known the Lord. You find the Lord sometime during your lifetime. And I'll tell you, if you find him, you're going to know when you found him. There is no such thing as people not knowing when they were saved. I'm not saying they know the date or not, but I'm talking about they ought to know that an event took place where they met Jesus Christ. And that's the issue. And so we need to talk to our relatives and talk to our brothers and sisters and all these things and find out or not if they have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and their life changed. I said their life changed. If there's no change, there's no Lord. It's just that simple. You know, you can't meet the President of the United States and not know you met him. I mean, come on. I mean, I think you would know that if you met him, don't you think? And that's the way it is. Well, we're talking about how to stay full of the Lord, how to stay full of the Holy Spirit, how to continue on in the Lord in times like these. And I think we're going to have more opportunities every day to tell people about Christ. This world's not going to stay the same. It was never designed to stay the same, and it will not stay the same. In fact, God's going to roll it all up and start something new here one of these days. Are you listening to me? So don't get too attached to it, because let's get attached to Jesus. He's always is, he always was, and he always will be. And that's the one we want to be attached to. All right, let's look to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm going to continue this today. I'm going to talk about the third thing that will keep you full of the Lord. We'll have a little review, and then we'll get into this third thing. It's very important. And a lot of Christians don't understand what I'm going to teach today. It's not complicated, very simple. Look in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1 is one of the most important chapters in the Bible, I believe. And so, but let's look in verse 21. Because they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. And unfortunately, that's what we voted into the Congress of the United States. It's amazing. I'm not saying all of them up there are that way, but unfortunately a good majority of them are. And this type of thinking is going to take over the world and bring the world into 7 years of tribulation. And it says very simply here, because they knew there was a God, they did not glorify him as God, they didn't honor him, they were not thankful, and they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened, I might say, to the things of God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and so on. Well, we don't want to be fools. many of us are always asking for God for something He's already given us. I want to say that again. Many of us are always asking God for something He's already given us. If you are saved, if you know the Lord, you have eternal life. And that life is eternal. And that life is going to put you in the family of God forever. And wherever God is, you're going to be. And so we don't have to ask Him to keep saving us and that kind of thing. Also, the Word of God says, by your stripes He's healed. We ought to be claiming we're healed in the name of Jesus. We're not asking for healing. We're claiming the healing we already have. Because it said, by His stripes we are healed. We need to claim that healing. We need to walk in that healing. And obviously, we need to be serious about taking care of ourselves in that area. But we need to learn to receive what God's already given us. That's, we need to be receivers. We're no longer coming to God and asking. We should be receiving these things because God's constantly giving these things out. And so we need to be receivers. If you didn't tune into our radio station, you guess what? You wouldn't get the station. It's out there 24 hours a day, giving out the word. But if you don't tune it in, you won't receive it. And so the Word of God is constantly out there. The Holy Spirit's out there. The Word of God is out there. And we need to be receiving what God is saying. We get into the Word of God to receive what He's saying. Not only be honorable to Him, but to receive what He's saying. This book is written to you and I. It's not written to lost people. It's written to Christians. And so if we're going to hear from God, we need to get into the Word of God. And then we have to maintain what we've received. We have to keep on in faith doing the simple things that God has asked us to do. And the first thing, key number one, we've talked about this, is to value God, to put Him first in our lives. Whenever God is first in your life, then the other things will fall into place. And the problem is we don't put Him first, then we're always going to be seeking for something. Because we were designed for God to be first in our lives. In fact, your life will not work properly unless God is number one. Your life will not function properly unless God is number one. We were designed to put Him first. And when you don't do that, then things begin to fall apart in our lives. And that's why you have all these things that are going on in this world. That's why you have people with all these problems they have. I never said you will never have a problem, but I'm saying some people live in problems, and I'll guarantee you they are not putting God first. Are you listening to me? You see? And that's their life is a problem because they don't put God first. Number one, they don't come to Him as their Savior. And then number two, they don't put Him first in their everyday life. I said everyday life, you see. And we can't let other things compete for God being number one in our life. There's always some out there trying to compete to be number one in your life. It's always something or somebody or something. And He's to be number one. So He must be the most important one in your life, period. Amen. Nobody else. God. And I'll guarantee you things will change in your life. It will change. Number two, the second thing is, keep being thankful for what God has done. Keep being thankful for what God has done. You know, if you don't do that, what you're going to be is to be a griper and complainer and draw every demon in Winnebago County into your life.
Get on it, brother.
You want to know why people get messed up, why people do what they do? It's because they've griped and complained about everything imaginable instead of giving thanksgiving to God. This is a true story. There was a king over in Persia, which is now Iran, many years ago, and he started out as a pauper. He was extremely poor, and he ended up being king in Persia. And so after he became king, he sent some men back to the house where he grew up, and he had them bring some of the artifacts and some of the memorabilia from his past to the palace. And so they brought old clothes, and they brought old shoes, and they brought broken toys, and they brought all these meager things he had when he was growing up. And in there was a room in the palace, and he put all this stuff in the room, and he would spend 1 hour a day in that room. So when he came out of there, he'd be thankful for what he had. Are you listening to me? He'd be thankful for what he had. Now, I wasn't particularly poor when I grew up, but I didn't have much. The furniture in my room, and my room was not an actual room. It was a built-in porch. That's where I slept. And instead of having furniture, I had, some of you older folks understand, I had orange crates. Any of you older folks remember those? They used to ship oranges in wooden crates. And if you were real quick and the first one down to the store after the oranges came in, you would ask for these orange crates, and you'd get them and bring them home. And that's basically what the furniture was in my room. And I'll tell you that if I just thought about that, I'd have to say today, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. Thank you, Jesus, for what you have done, you see. And that's being thankful to God. We ought to start out the day thanking God, end up the day thanking God, and if you get up in the middle of the night, thank God. I'm talking about how to focus your life on God and start living like the Word of God says. Because we let everything else come in there, and we forget to thank God, we forget to honor Him, we forget to do that. Oh, we do it on Sunday. But Sunday's only one day out of seven. And when you start thanking God on a daily basis, and when you start honoring Him and placing Him first in your life, more important than anybody or anything else, then you're going to automatically love everything around you. You see. Now, that's what it says here. They did just the opposite in verse 21 of Romans 1. It says, they glorified Him not as God. In other words, they allowed other things to come in their life instead of God. Number two, they were not thankful. You know, there's another scripture in the Bible that said, honor your father and your mother. And you know what it said to do that? It said, if you do that, you'll live a longer life. You live a longer life. That's what the Bible says. I believe it. I believe what it says. You'll live a longer life. If you don't honor, I'm not saying honor everything they did. Nobody's perfect. A lot of them messed up. A lot of them didn't do everything right. But honor them for what you can. Find something good and honor them. You'll live longer in this life. So we keep being thankful. We can, let's look in Philippians 4, verse 4. Hold your finger in Romans. Go to Philippians 4 and verse 4. I'm just telling you some simple things that will change your life. Philippians 4 and verse 4. You ever been around anybody that aren't thankful for anything? They just gripe and complain all the time. There's nobody in here like that. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It says all the time. It didn't say a couple of times. It said all the time. Start rejoicing. You've been asking for God, and you say, God, why haven't you answered? Start being thankful and honoring God. It'll open the door for the things of God to come into your life. All right, now, I'm going to talk about the third one today. And because honoring God, placing Him first, giving Him first value, and then being thankful will open the door to this one. And this one is, it's in verse 21 of Romans 1. They became vain in their imaginations, and the opposite of that is filling God with your imaginations. Filling God with your imagination. Most people don't understand how important your imagination is. The imagination will guide the actions of your life. And I'm going to explain how as I go along. Now, so you glorify God, you're being thankful. Now if you're not, then your imagination is going to become vain and empty or lack direction of God. Or another thing is it'll become non-productive. God gave us an imagination. It was an important thing that He put in you and I. And I think people used to use their imagination a lot more than they do today, because you don't have to have an imagination to watch a movie. There it is. Everything is there. And I'll explain some of that in a minute. But your imagination can work for you or it can work against you. And particularly for those people that have a lot of time alone. Now listen to me carefully. People that have a lot of time alone, and I'm not putting anybody down that's alone. You're alone for whatever reason. But if you have a lot of alone time, your imagination particularly can work against you if you're not careful. Now remember, you got to keep glorifying God. You have to keep thanking God. That's part of it. And if you do, your imagination will always gravitate towards things of God. But your imagination is going to be directed by what you focus on. We continually focusing on something. If you focused on the news 24 hours a day, your imagination would come up with all those terrible things you've been watching that's happening all over the world, and you're going to start imagining they're happening to you. I had a lady that was in her 90s, and she thought everything on the news was happening in her block, whether it was world news or whether it was out in California or wherever it is. When I'd come to visit her, she said, "Did you hear about so-and-so that happened?" Right next door, she said. And I knew what she was talking about. It happened in California, and she was in Rockford. Her imagination was filled with those kind of things, and that's what happens a lot of times, particularly if you're older. You got to be careful. Now, older people particularly should focus on things of God and things of worth in their life instead of watching the news all the time, because your imagination will run wild, and just think all those things are happening with you. Now, your mind focuses through your imagination. I'm going to explain how this works. We go along. Just stay with me, because this is important. Now, actually, your mind is or your imagination is like the womb of your soul. It's where conception takes place, where ideas are conceived, where ideas begin to develop, where ideas begin to become reality in your mind. It's where you conceive things. It's like an architect drawing a blueprint of a building that he's going to be involved in building. And so he has a blueprint. He sees the blueprint, but he also, in his imagination, sees the completed building. He sees the completed building. He has a blueprint in front of him, but when he looks at it, he sees it completely done. Now, this imagination is the creative part of us. And I'll be very honest with you, I've heard very few churches where they teach this. And I think it's one of the most important things that you need to know. Now, one of the ways that we are different than animals is animals do not have an imagination. They don't have that creative ability. They only have instinct. They do certain things instinctively. We do too, but we have an imagination which God uses to put creative things into your life. That's why God can take someone who nobody ever heard of and create some of the greatest things that you could possibly imagine. God could take somebody in the Bible you never heard of, and all of a sudden they'd be king. How's that possible? Because God put these things in their imagination. They were conceived in their imagination, in their life, and we're always picturing things that we're going to do. If you made a grocery list and you knew the store you were going to go to, you would picture that store in your mind. You would picture where it's at. You would picture what it looks like. You would picture what's in the store, basically. You would picture where the meat department is, the produce department, these other things. You picture all those things in your mind before you do them. And if you make the list, picture it in your mind, guess what you end up doing? Going to that grocery store and buying what's on that list. You've pictured the whole thing in your mind. It would be that way with any store you were going to, unless you were just running around just looking. But if you had something in mind, you would picture, and you had a store you wanted to go to, you would picture that in your mind, the whole thing would be conceived, and then you would go and do it. That's the way we're created. That's the way God created this world. He had it all in his imagination, if you want to put it that way. And then he spoke, and it was done. He saw the whole thing before it was ever created. He had that within himself. Now, what I'm teaching you this morning ought to be one of the most exciting things you ever heard in your life. Because what that means is, nothing is impossible in your life with God. Nothing is impossible in your life that God conceives in your soul. And that's the issue. Christians are always concentrating on sin. Listen to me. Concentrating on sin, concentrating on trying to live holy, concentrating on doing all this stuff. If they could just conceive what God did in their mind and allow him to do it through them, you wouldn't be worrying about the sin all the time. You see. And what Satan has done is to make us so sin-conscious that we're not conscious of what God can do in our lives. And that's why the church is not relevant in society today. We have lost our vision. God called it vision. Vision and dreams. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to have dreams, it says in the Word of God. What was he talking about? He was talking about these things being conceived in our imagination. You see, whatever you can conceive yourself in your imagination, you can be. This is not witchcraft. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. Witchcraft is the perverted side of this, you see. Because this is in order that you would do good. Witchcraft, start thinking of a dog. You'd picture a dog in your mind. Probably one either you have or you know about or something. You would picture that in your mind. And that's why so many things on television and the movies are bad, because they give you the wrong pictures in your mind. Give you the wrong pictures in your mind. That's why you got to be careful what you watch. If you watch something and you had, and when you went to sleep you had nightmares, I'll guarantee you, you watch something that was designed to take the place of God in your life. That's the issue. Our imagination's almost like a blank film, which whatever images are put in it, and we control what we think about. We control what our imaginations are picturing. And we have to, because it's one of the most powerful things in your life, you see. Now, if we quit glorifying God and quit being thankful, then our imaginations are going to be open to things that will destroy our lives. You're going to be filled with fear. You're going to operate in unbelief. You're going to have doubt. You're going to have worry. You're going to have hatred. You're going to have lust. You're going to have all these things that come in when you take God out of your thinking and God out of your imagination. All these other things automatically come in. You don't have to worry about them coming in. They will. Now, how many of us at one time or another, maybe even these last few days, you think the worst about yourself? You think something bad about yourself. It might be your looks. It might be an action. It might be something else. But you picture yourself as not being pleasing, whether it's to God, whether it's to somebody else, whatever it is. You control about what is in your mind. Now, you go into this place where you usually have a conversation with somebody, but they're busy and they don't speak to you. So you decide in your mind that that person doesn't like you anymore. Just because they didn't shake your hand like they usually did on Sunday morning. They must not like me anymore. And you get into this wild thing in your imagination, and it may have had nothing to do with anything. They may have just plain been busy and had their mind on something else. But you've come up with all this stuff about they don't like you anymore and all this kind of business, and you develop this whole picture in your mind of being rejected. How many have ever done that truthfully at one time in their life? Just about everybody in the place. And how many times did you find it didn't have anything to do with anything? It was just they were busy, you see? And that's the way it is a lot of times. And if they don't like you anyway, God does, so what difference does it make? 10% of the people that you have contact with aren't going to like you. That's just the way it is. They may not like what you look like, may not like what you say, they may not like what you do. Just put that down, it's going to happen. And so you can, if you're going to worry about the 10% instead of the other 90, guess what's going to be in your mind? I'm no good, I just can't get it done, there's something about me people don't like. Just because one person said something or didn't do something that you thought they ought to do. And maybe they were just too busy. Let's look in Matthew chapter 7. Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, you go into all that stuff. I mean, you could spend hours on it. You see. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Poor me is right. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Okay, judge not that you be not judged. Don't judge what people think about you unless they tell you right to your face. And some will. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you measure, shall be measured to you again. What that says, you go around judging people, people are going to judge you the same way. It just works that way. Why behold thou the mote in your brother's eye and consider not the beam that's in your own? Or how will you say to their brother, let me pull that mote out of your eye and behold a beam's in your own eye? Hypocrite, first cast the beam out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly cast the mote out of the brother's eye. Don't think bad of people. It doesn't do any good. It just messes you up. Is basically what that says. Now, let's look in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. First Timothy 3, 2. A bishop then must be blameless. Husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, there it is, good behavior, given to hospitality to teach, not given to wine, violence, and all that other stuff. But the issue is, we're supposed to be doing good instead of trying to figure out some little thing where some incident happened where somebody we think didn't like us. Because you're going to put all kinds of imaginations in your eye. Don't think the worst. Now, if somebody points a gun in your face and I'm going to kill you, I'd be a little concerned. But most of this other stuff doesn't mean anything, doesn't amount to anything, and a lot of times people forget it 5 seconds after they did it, and you go on for days. So you see, don't speculate about it. If there's a problem, ask them if there's a problem, and you'll find out real quick. Just ask them. Don't just keep worrying about it day after day and I don't know why they don't like me. I don't know why this happened. Ask them with a smile and find out. Look, now look in Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, it says, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We're always thinking about somebody else. What about your own heart? What are you thinking? Whatever you think is what you are. Who controls your thinking? Who controls your thinking? Absolutely correct. Don't let somebody else control your thinking. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. So, the issue is here, as we think in our heart, we are. Now, in your heart, you have a picture of who you are and what you're like, you think. And then you do something that's contrary to that, and you start thinking the worst. Also, don't let other people paint the picture of who you are. Let God do it. Don't let other people put you in a box. Look at what God thinks. You see, let who you are in Christ and who he is in you paint the picture of your life. Let me give you that again. Let who you are in Christ and who he is in you paint the picture of your life, not other people, not even yourself. Now, If you picture yourself poor, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become what you picture in your life. I'm talking about imagination, picture, same thing. What you picture yourself to be is basically what you're going to become, you see. They call it self-fulfilling prophecy. You prophesied to yourself. Now, I'm going to try to hustle to get this done. Now, you can see yourself as a very shy person, kind of backward, stay away from people, or you can see people the way God sees you. Look at Philippians 4:13. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. There's a lot of verses on all this stuff, but I'm not going to get into all of that. Now, I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty here in just a minute. Philippians 4:13. This says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All you have to be concerned about is what Christ wants you to do, and he'll give you the strength to do it in this time. I don't think we have a lot of time. We haven't got time to mess around. What we've got time to do is what God wants us to do. Grace and I have said to God many times lately, whatever you want us to do to finish out our life here on this earth, we want to be about it, get it done in Jesus' name, in his power. That's all we care about. We don't care about anything else. Nothing. Not interested in anything taking the place of that in our life. Whatsoever. Nothing. That's what we want. In Christ, I can prosper. I can do anything he wants me to do. I'm going to pray over everything. I'm going to picture what God wants me to do and then do it. God, change our inner image of ourselves. Give us visions and dreams. Give us visions of what you want. Give us visions of how you see us. Give us visions of what you want us to do in this life, in whatever time we have left. Now, if you glorify and thank God, your imagination is going to start working properly. Now, don't concentrate on the past. I say that all the time, but don't do it. Say you were in an airplane and you were going down the runway, and instead of looking at what's ahead, you look behind you and start talking about all the holes in the runway behind you. What difference does it make? You're not going that way. You can't go back there. It's impossible. Last year, on North Alpine, if you're ever up there, I heard a bunch of groans already. That was the worst road in Rockford to drive on. I mean, it was awful. So, they fixed it. Now, when you go down North Alpine, you can do one of two things. Oh, that road was so horrible last year. It was the worst thing I ever drove in my life. It messed up my car. I had to drive 5 miles an hour. And the time you do get where you're going, you're not even know who you are when you get there, because you've been complaining about something that happened last year. Instead of going down that same road, hallelujah, this was a good road. Now, what are you going to do? Do you want to take a picture of the road last year with all the holes in it and put it on the wall so every time you come in your house, you can complain about North Alpine? That's what people do about their life. They pick out all the potholes and all that junk, and they keep mulling it over in their mind, keep running it through their imagination, keep picturing it in their life, and they don't go anywhere. And they stand before Jesus . Why didn't you do what I asked you to do? Well, God, I was looking back there at all those potholes. What you put in your imagination is who you are. Isaiah 26:3. I hope somebody's listening out there today, because this is going to change your life if you get this. Isaiah 26:3. Bible talks about this stuff all the time. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God is everlasting strength. You ought to have that memorized. You want to put something on the wall, put that on there. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. There it is. If you're not in peace, your mind and imagination's on the wrong thing. You see. Now, mind here is the same word as imagination. You have pictured all these wrong things. You're not concentrating on God. And you got all this stuff in your mind. You've got to see God inside of you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. All of God is inside of you. Now, the Bible teaches on word pictures. That's what the Bible's all about. You say, why in the world does God go into all this detail about David and Goliath? Why in the world does God go into all the detail on this thing? Well, I'll tell you why he does. Because he wants you to picture it in his mind, in your mind. Man, there's this little kid out there, and he's out there in the army of Israel. They don't want to go near this giant. Man, he's 9 foot tall. I mean, he weighs I don't know how much, and he's got a sword that's bigger than I am. And he's out there defying the army of the living God. And here's David. He doesn't have any armor. He didn't have anything. All he's got's a little slingshot. It's one of those kinds you throw over your head like this, and you release that thing. He used to drive away the lions and the bears from the sheep that he took care of. And you know what? He looked across at that giant, and he said, that giant's no different than a sheep. That's no different than a wolf, rather. He's no different than a wolf. And he starts moving towards the giant. The giant starts moving towards him. And he says, what is this? I mean, I want to do battle, and you send out a little hot dog out here after me. I mean, you can picture this thing. And so he picks up, he doesn't pick up one stone. He's got a little pouch here, and he picks up five stones. There's only one giant. I guess, you know, everybody figures, well, he figures it's going to take five stones to knock this dude down. But we find out later that wasn't really it. He had four brothers, and he was going to take care of them too. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Are you listening to me? And he crosses that creek, wades through the water, crosses that creek. Here comes the giant. He slings that thing, hits the giant in the forehead. Giant falls down. He takes the giant's own sword with two hands, because it was huge, and chops that dude's head off. God said, you're David. That's what you can do in life. If you have God in your imagination, you can do anything God asks you to do. You can be anything God wants you to do. I don't care about the potholes. I'm not going that way. Doesn't make any difference about the potholes. What are you going to pull on the wall? What are you going to look at? What are you going to put into your mind? What are you going to put in your imagination? Let the Holy Spirit guide it. Not people, not TV, not the movies, not somebody that doesn't like you, not the potholes. It doesn't make any difference. This is how the power of God's released. You focus your imagination on Him. Allow the Word of God to control your life. Start seeing things in the Word of God. When the Bible says you're healed, picture yourself up and healed and moving on. Are you listening to me? That's what that the imagination has tremendous power. God made it that way. You can do anything. You can find anything. You can create anything that God wants you to create. Meditate and see yourself healed. See yourself jumping in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm healed in Jesus' name. That's what you start seeing. See yourself laying hands on the sick and they recover. See yourself laying hands on somebody in a wheelchair and they get up and they walk away in the name of Jesus. See yourself, even if somebody has died and it's not their time, putting your hand on them and say, rise up in Jesus' name. See yourself, David, get up. David, rise up. David, get the stones and prepare for battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of us go around in life and let life knock us down. We're supposed to be knocking it down, you see. And it's all in here, in our imagination. We can do anything that we imagine that God wants us to do. Step out. Do it. Don't see yourself sick and dying.